welcome back to Extra Features, Henry. Today we have a fantastic director whose new film has just come out on Amazon Prime called Mad Genius, Roy Gorsuch. Welcome to the show. So you, I'm watching your film, and it looks like you shot in LA. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. It's in a hidden pocket of LA that's not often explored. In the warehouse district of downtown near the LA River.
So can you give me a little bit more information streetwise where that would be?
The majority of the locations were near Central Avenue, which is a little misleading because Central Avenue is actually outside of the main downtown. It's down closer to the river. And it's in the middle of the warehouse district.
Awesome. So going to shoot in LA, so you're really like SAG award, like SAG kind of thing, right? Everybody has to be paid to scale and everything, or no?
Yeah, it kind of broke up a little there. I'm sorry.
I meant paying your actors. Usually when you shoot in LA, you have to pay them a certain scale as opposed to shooting in Philadelphia or something.
Are you right? There? Yeah. Yeah. We did have, a SAG contract that was a SAG ultra low budget. So that means basically, you know, any film below a $250,000 budget. And that allows, real SAG actors, you know, working professional actors to participate in you know, art projects and smaller, you know, independent films like mine.
Would you, consider your film an art project since you brought it up?
I do. I consider it a massive 3-year insane art project.
So you've been working on this film, you just told me, for 3 years. So where did it come from? The internet's obviously exploding. Like Facebook. I mean, your film is very much like that at times in exploring the interwebs.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the idea is there's a lot of ideas happening in the film, and the core concept, you know, of hacking the human brain, which is the protagonist's mission, really actually came from some articles I was reading in Scientific American about scientists digitally mapping a human brain, like they're actually doing this. And of course, my mind started wandering, you know, as a storyteller, and I was looking for a concept that I could do on sort of a low budget, but that had really big ramifications for the world and sort of global stakes. And I love the idea of also like the modern maker movement, and you could even consider, you know, guys like Zuckerberg as that kind of person who created, you know, Facebook in his dorm room. And there's I know a lot of hackers and, you know, really interesting artists, who all kind of do the same thing. They kind of have this live work, you know, laboratory that they live in. And that's actually why we shot in downtown LA in the warehouse district, is because, those locations actually exist. You know, those kind of people are living in warehouses and creating in warehouses that, you know, look like, you know, they would be making like some kind of, you know, chemical or something.
Yeah, I know. I like the look of the film. I thought did you DP it or did you handpick your DP?
I was lucky that our producer knew our DP from previous work, and he was one of the only people I didn't know beforehand, and he was amazing. His name's Lars Lindstrom.
Love the name.
And he's got the great Swedish name, yeah, and the great Swedish aesthetic.
No, I just thought your film had a very good sense of style, and I think you were going for that. That's why I asked you, was it an art film? Because when your lead character wanders around, like, even when he meets Eden, I find you have a very distinct style when he meets Eden.
Like a little graphic novel and really, you know, tell that story in sort of a surreal and heightened way to the lighting and the production design, even though, you know, it's set in contemporary times and, you know, we had a very small budget to make a big world with.
I think you did the most for it. I'm really impressed by the look of the film.
Sorry. It's a little bit.
Okay. Sorry about that. It happens occasionally. Used a lot of cut footage, I thought, during the film. And lots of it. Like you would spice things in?
We did implement a lot of archival in the thing as a way to kind of give a bigger stakes to the protagonist's goal. And, you know, we're on a tiny, tiny budget. So, you know, I'm trying to find ways that and make the story bigger than just a guy in his garage kind of thing.
So was the plastic bottles, you go about the numbers of throwaway plastic bottles, that's been in the news a lot lately. Was that just when you were writing it that came up, or is it something that means a lot to you?
Yeah, it, you know, the script originally written in 2012, thinking about plastic bottles for a long time. And, you know, it was one thing that I just thought represented sort of the waste of human society that we can create. Plastic is a thing that lasts for a thousand years. A lot of times we fall victim to and forget to recycle it. And I thought that was indicative for a genius character to focus on something myopic like that, that he would want to solve. And, you know, for him, it would be, you know, excess waste would be a goal he would try to write out of the human brain.
The main leads and their chemistry is what I was looking for.
Yes.
Okay. You kind of, I don't know how to say this without, you know what I'm getting at without ruining the film? I don't want to, the two leads kind of bounce off each other a lot, have a good banter is what I'm trying to say. And then when you introduce the Eden character, I find that she kind of mellows that balance out, if that makes sense. They seem to chill out around her.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, all of the characters in the film represent different parts of the psyche, so to speak. And I thought that would be a really interesting thing to do, you know, with the characters, considering the main character is insane, you know, having his emotions, you know, be different elements of his mind. And, you know, throughout the film, it's hard to tell who's real and who's not real, you know, and that I leave kind of open-ended for the audience. And I wanted to do that because I thought it was interesting. You know, we've typically seen in a film like this, you know, in the third act climax, you know, they cut to a montage and the montage sort of explains everything. And I wanted to, you know, a little different. And it might not, you know, satisfy all audience members, but I had the freedom to do so, and I made that choice. And you know, I really enjoy the element of sort of a certainty about the characters in the film.
I think you did that, because I made a note here going, he loves Fight Club. And that was a total note in my thing. Like, I kept guessing. I'm like, this is like Fight Club. And you didn't give me the answer. Fight Club at least gives me an answer at the end, but you don't. But that's good. That's totally cool. So I guess it was Fight Club and influence is what I'm going to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, incredibly heavily by Fight Club and The Matrix. That's when I was growing up. You know, those were the films that were like the monumental, you know, experiences. And also a film that I read, you know, makes people chuckle is the film Swingers. Because the two characters, the two leads of that film, just have such incredible banter and rapport, and you know, a very similar relationship to both Fight Club and my movie. You know, you've got this sort of protagonist who is sort of trying to steer their way through life, and then they have this, you know, sidekick who is just so nosing and tells them what to do and pushes them over the edge and makes them do, you know, things they wouldn't normally do. And it, you know, it makes a really fun kind of buddy story.
Oh, it works very well. I just want to think. I want to say I love the music in this film.
Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad you said that. I haven't had many folks mention music,
really?
But I love the music of the film, and it's one of my favorite elements of the film. And it was done by Ari Granite and Chase from a company called Think Up Anger, and I got incredibly lucky. Those guys do like trailer music for like, you know, and you know, huge movies. And the fact that they were willing to take on my little, you know, tiny project and score the whole film was just really exciting for me. And, you know, I love the soundtrack.
So do I. So thank you. I love the music. That. I made notes saying really good music. Scott is always changing outfits, I noticed. Was there a reason Scott needs to change outfits all the time?
Sorry, I broke a little.
It's all right.
We talked about the wardrobe.
Yeah, Scott is always changing outfits in a lot of scenes. I find he's always changing. Mason doesn't.
Yeah. The alter ego is, you know, able to disappear and rear on command without the protagonist's, you know, oversight. Gave us a lot of freedom to mess with his wardrobe. And we brought on a really talented wardrober and designer, Matthew Mathiasen, who's, you know, part of that downtown LA culture, you know, and it was interesting, of course, to reference films, and we talked about, but he really brought his own sort of creative perspective to these cyberpunks. You know, and that was the genre that, you know, we had an eye on, and I thought he really brought that to life in an awesome way.
Yeah, I want to know where the giant tunnel is.
Yeah, that's a good question. That tunnel was not an easy place to shoot. You know, we kind of made it look like he just, you just walk in the entrance to that thing.
Yes, absolutely.
But you actually have to scale like a 20-foot wall down the line bar to reach the surface of that tunnel. And it was very, very challenging, that scene. But it was an adventure.
And one scene, I do have a quote from the movie. I wrote it down as the hooker tells guys stop, because you're going back to the fight club. So you're never really giving me an answer to whether what I'm looking at is real or not real. Because at times I feel people can see both characters, and at times I feel they don't see both characters. And then at times I feel it's all in Mason's head. So.
Yeah, I the last little bit broke up.
Oh, I'm sorry. The hooker says at one point, guys, stop. So she can see both of them. So I'm just trying to figure out, you are always giving me a yes or no, whether they're real or not real, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, at that point in the film, when they're in, you know, that really on, you know, party dungeon.
Yeah, okay, that's a good word.
She's able to see and interact with Finn because at that point in time, he has, quote-unquote, sort of brought to life like a Frankenstein character.
Okay.
And that's, you know, some magical science on my part, but we thought that was a really interesting thing that we had never really seen before. Of an imaginary person, you know, being brought to life. So that's how she sees him in that scene.
Okay. Yeah, because like I said, I think you did such a good job of trying to... I didn't, like, by the end, I'm still confused if he existed or not. So I'm being honest. What are you going to do with the film? It's on Amazon Prime. Where are you going with it? Have you done any film festivals or anything? Hello? Did I lose you?
Sorry. I lost you, I think.
I noticed. Have you taken the film to any film festivals?
Yes. Did the film in three. We premiered the London Fright Fest in the United Kingdom, and that was fantastic. And then we then later played at Austin Other Worlds, which is a sci-fi festival. And then we followed that with San Francisco Fest this past February.
Did you get to go to San Francisco?
We did, yeah. And actually, we were there a few times, and we had a really great weekend up there. It was
I'm sorry, people. This is the worst Skype you've ever had. Where can people find your film?
The film is available on VOD and digital platforms, as well as on so that, you know, Amazon, iTunes, Vudu, Xbox, Google, you know, premier VOD platforms, you can check out the...
Are you ready for fun questions?
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry about this. This Skype is awful. I'm sorry. Your favorite film?
My favorite film, I have to say, I think is The Matrix.
Great choice. Great film. No issues. Do you like the sequels?
I actually like the sequels, but I'm a bit of a fanboy. And, you know, nothing compares to Matrix because it was so mind-bending and original, you know, at that time.
It's Friday night. You have people over and they want to watch a film. What do you put on?
So it's Friday night with a... Well, we put on?
Yeah.
You know, I would say Gladiator comes to mind, you know, for a really, really fun popcorn and beautifully made film. And, you know, so I love Swinger.
Oh, yeah.
I really love Swingers.
I like Swingers. How many times have you been to In-N-Out Burger? Oh, I lost you again.
Sorry.
How many times have you been to In-N-Out Burger?
into In-N-Out Burger, probably 50.
And what do you order?
I get the double with animal style.
There you go. I've never been to an In-N-Out Burger, so it's my favorite question to ask. We don't have them here. And last question, really easy. Most famous person you've ever met in LA?
I'm so sorry. I didn't hear anything.
No problem. It's not your fault. It's the Skype. Your most famous person to meet in LA you ran into.
Okay, one more time.
The most famous person you've ever met in LA.
The most famous person I've ever met would be Orlando Bloom. I was actually in Czechoslovakia on a film set. I was shadowing on a TV show, and I got to meet Orlando.
Well, there you go. Well, I want to thank you for your time and apologize for this really bad Skype, but I'll piece it together a little bit better for you when it comes out. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'm sorry the answers are a little jumbled from the Skype, but I really appreciate the time and the interview. Thank you.
Thank you.